It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. I invite a keynote Sandler trainer each week from all around the world to discuss different components of the world-renowned and highly successful Sandler training system. This week, my guest is Pete Oliver. Pete is from Boston. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, I'm delighted to have someone from Boston on the air. You were going to share with us a little bit about business owners' mindset. So before we get into that, Pete, tell us about how did you get involved with Sandler in the first place, and how long have you been a Sandler trainer?
About 8 years. I was a Sandler client prior. I was lucky enough to get introduced to Sandler early in my career when I was in a business development role at a technology company, and I ended up leveraging Sandler in that role, and I ended up getting promoted a few times in that organization and got to see the success that Sandler had on my career and the career of the folks that worked for me. At the end of my run with that 8-year company, we were about a $5 billion a year company, and
Wow. The
one constant thing I saw was the reps on our team that leveraged the Sandler system were just more successful than the ones that didn't, and decided I wanted to go own a business, and this was the no-brainer one for me to buy.
That's wonderful. So who was your original trainer in Sandler?
A gentleman by the name of Bob Gregoire.
Oh, yeah, Bob's a great man.
Been a huge coach in my career and in my life, frankly, and we're still friends to this day, so he's a huge impact on the direction I've taken in my career.
Awesome. So, Pete, you work with a lot of business owners. What are some of the challenges you see that business owners face in growing a business?
It's a great question. One of the common things we see a lot, especially with small business owners, is they get into business for a reason, and it's likely because they're really good at something or they're really passionate at something, and they didn't necessarily get into business because they expected that there was going to be a sales element to what they did. And executing the sales process, even though you own the right to sell a product or service and help their clients in whatever way that they're expecting to help their clients, there's commonly a sales element to that, and executing that process is a challenge we see all the time.
Boy, it really is. And I think the challenge is the ability that made you good as a technician may not be the same skill set necessarily to be good in selling and or managing a business.
We see it all the time. We see it with insurance agencies and accountants and product manufacturers, manufacturers reps, startup technology companies, you name it. It's a common theme. Really great product or service, but they have to figure out how to connect with the marketplace and create a pipeline.
And if I don't know how to do that, it doesn't matter how good my product is or what great service we have. If nobody's buying it, nobody has a job.
Correct. Yeah, it's an invisible product. It's not really a product yet.
The emperor's clothes. So, Pete, take us through these top five objectives. What's number one in getting horsepower as a business owner?
Great question. One thing we see a lot in the Sandler world is anytime there's a buyer and there's a seller, there's going to be a couple of processes at play, and we call it the buyer-seller dance. And Jim, you know what happens if there's no templated sales process. We end up following the buyer's process, which sometimes can be extremely painful. So a lot of times what we recommend up front is to template out the different steps of your sales process. Perfect world. Could be a one-call close, right? Could be a six-call close. You may never have to talk to the client in order to get the sale, but at the end of the day, each business should have a templated sales process so that they have something to follow, especially when they scale and they start having new people on the team that are there to execute the process. The lack of process basically means you're going to follow the buyer system.
And when you default to the buyer system, it's actually designed to favor the buyer. One of the challenges I think, Pete, that business owners have is if you did get into the business because you're passionate about something, you may have a tendency to talk too much. And one of our rules is the confused mind says no. Too much enthusiasm about your product, you can talk a client out of buying, especially if you don't have that templated sales process. So how would a listener take it from, okay, good idea, how do I do it?
Well, it's a great question. I think to your point, a lot of times what we see is we tend to present too early. So basically we get somebody that's on the other end of the phone and they actually are breathing. We decide, you know what, we need to make sure that we get out all the features and benefits of our product as quickly as possible, which could come across in a couple of ways. One, you might give away too much free consulting, put yourself in a bad position. Or two, to your point, the product knowledge you give them might be intimidating and you might talk about it moving forward. What you want to do is figure out, okay, what does qualified mean? And even prior to that, who's my ideal prospect?
Yeah.
So if you want to template out a process, you may have a different process for a different type of prospect. Maybe you sell to two different marketplaces, two different verticals, two different sizes of clients, and it's going to create some complexity on how you want to go about the process. So some of my clients, especially in the small business world, likely they might be selling other small businesses. In that particular case, you may have certain type of client that's better for a one-call close, two-call close, et cetera. So easiest way to figure that out is, okay, how do I get in front of these people? What is that process going to look like? When I do, what does qualified mean to me? Meaning, is it worth our time to engage this specific prospect?
Mm.
And if they are qualified, then what do we want to do after that? Which is likely map what you do to their specific situation. So there's a lot more complexity to that question about how you template out the sales process. But what do you want to find out?
Yeah.
In both directions, from what the buyer's going to learn from you and what you're going to learn from the buyer at each step along the way.
And I think one thing business owners are hesitant to do is ask for help. But in actuality, the very best person to help you template your selling system is probably your client. And I would guess that you've got clients who are passionate about your business and are willing to help. You've got to have the emotional maturity and humility to be able to ask for it. What are your thoughts on tapping the brain of our clients to really figure out what is my ideal client and what is the template I have for selling?
Jim, it's a great idea. You mentioned something, the humility piece. Pretty much every small business owner that we work with has some level of intellectual humility where they've decided that they're smart, but they're also smart enough to know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And they're able to ask for help when they need it. And I think asking clients is a phenomenal approach because at the end of the day, any really good salesperson enables somebody else's ability to make a decision. And if you're asking them what their decision-making process is on how you'd want somebody to approach them, then you're right. That's the likely way to do it.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of business owners who don't think they're in sales and don't want to be sales, and their first instinct is to hire somebody else to do the selling. I'm curious for your opinion here, Pete. I think if you don't know how to sell it yourself, you can't be the architect of the system to build a sales team. Your thoughts?
I've seen that mistake made over and over and over again. You know what? Let me just hire a VP of sales. I'm a five-person company, and our next round of funding hinges on this. Our ability to make payroll hinges on this. But
yeah.
I'm not going to roll up my sleeves and figure out the process for myself. I'm going to hire somebody. And then when it doesn't work, they wonder why. Well, I got to hire somebody different. And it's actually hard to hire somebody when you don't know the ins and outs of what's actually needed. And the challenge with any small business owner is time. That's the asset that they're constantly trying to figure out
right. How
to leverage. And there's a fine balance between doing it yourself and then allowing other people in your organization to take the lead on things. At some point early on in the development of an organization, the owner has to have a pulse on what's happening inside the sales process, right? And does that mean that they have to do it themselves? In some cases, maybe yes. In other cases, maybe no.
Yeah, I think you need to know, because part of the problem with hiring a salesperson, if they're any good at selling, they're going to sell you on hiring them. And if you don't really know what you're looking for in a salesperson, and you're not sure the process they should go through to sell someone, you're starting out with failure in the windshield and maybe are unaware of it.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think at a minimum, any leader in a small business, if they're hiring their very first salesperson, they need to play the role of the sales manager. And that's going to be pretty hard to do if they don't have a pulse on what's happening throughout the process.
Yeah. So we're talking with Peter Oliver. He's sharing with us today five areas of focus that are going to increase the velocity of small business owners' growth for the business and for the owner. We've covered topic number one, which is really have a templated sales process. Know what it takes. We also use the term gate selling. What gates does a client have to go through to become a client of ours? How do I take someone from never heard of you before to now they're a raving fan? Pete, give your contact information in case somebody listening would like to reach out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's peter.oliver@sandler.com. Office is 508-449-3861.
Terrific. Peter Oliver, we're going to be back with more of Pete after this. Up next, we're going to go behind the business where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional businesses. This is sales trainer Jim Stevens. If you'd like to hear more, visit our website at crossroads.sandler.com and listen to our shows or reach out to us at 208-429-9275 and we'll show you the way. And welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional business owners. This gives us an opportunity to learn some of life's lessons from people who have been there and done that. My guest today is Casey Betzel. He's one of the owners of Snake River Shooting Products Incorporated, and he's one of the co-founders of an alliance called Anteriors Alliance. So, Casey, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So, introduce our listeners to your networking effort, Anteriors Alliance.
So, Anteriors Alliance is a group group of companies. So we're 44 strong. We're manufacturers and service providers for the most part. The service providers are built in really to serve not only the manufacturers that are part and the other service providers that are part of it to bring their service to the table, whether it be credit card processing or graphic design or website development or things that most of us as small businesses need. And also the marketing side, because that's a big deal as far as trying to get the brand out on the products. And on the manufacturer side, we have everything from some new companies that have just come into existence, brand new business owners, young entrepreneurs that have either just got out of the military, just left law enforcement, or just young people trying to go into business for themselves that have the same uphill climb that all of us have to go out and grow a business. And so what we've determined is, going back to my time in the military, of a group of people all having different hats that they wear that come together to tackle a mission. And we brought that to the entrepreneurial thought process to say, if all of these companies bring something different to the table from not only their personal talents, but from their company's capabilities, then logically we should be able to accomplish the mission that big corporations do simply by making the choice to work together. So that's kind of the concept of bringing these companies together. And then we all have that one key thing in common, which is veterans and first responder support.
It's a brilliant concept. Did it come from your ambition to grow your own business? Is that what started you thinking along these lines?
I actually started thinking about this concept back when I worked for a large corporation in the outdoor industry. And they had 28 brands at the time, and they could never get along.
They all saw themselves as competitors.
Well, they were all bought up by an umbrella company, very common in today's business in the corporate world. And they had all these brands, and they'd all been purchased, and they didn't like each other because before, some of them had been competitors. And so to this day, all owned by the same company, all with the same email addresses, they don't get along and don't support each other very well. So I thought, you know, if this was possible, it would actually be magic because it's something that not only young businesses need, but really all businesses need to succeed. So the thought process then as we got into our small business and growing business of Snake River Shooting Products was, is there a way to work together to get more coverage on our products and our brands out there? So there was kind of an evolution here that took place to get to where we're at today.
And you've actually created a platform that allows other people with a common vision and common products to help showcase their product.
Absolutely the case. So a company can come in, a young person come in and say, hey, I have this idea for my product. I'm a young business. I'm just getting started. I don't have any idea how to even take my product to market or how to sell it or how to price it. We go from all the way from that level, which is brand new entry level, even to companies that have a couple hundred employees already that say, hey, cool, we would like to just be part of this because of the cause.
So give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
So our contact information can be found at AnterisAlliance.com, AnterisAlliance.com. And all of the companies that are part of the alliance are there. You can see information whether you want to be a dealer of the products that are there in the outdoor world, if you want to be an individual member, if you want to be a corporate member as a manufacturer service provider. You can get a hold of us through the website, info@AnterisAlliance.com, and can get to us directly.
Casey Betzel, great to have you on the program. We're going to be back with more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Do you have responsibility to make sure new clients continue to fuel growth in your firm? Big marketing budgets and clever campaigns fail to take into account that people buy from people. Most people in business development won't get out of their comfort zone and make personal connections because they don't want to sound just like every other salesperson. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Join us on Tuesday, June 6th from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for a workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You will learn a proven system to avoid getting stopped by the gatekeeper, decision makers shutting you down before you tell them why you're calling, and the put off of requesting information. June 6th, 1 o'clock p.m., a 2-hour workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You have nothing to lose but your fear of calling on top prospects. To register, go to crossroads.sandler.com or call at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
You know, I'm a big believer in Sandler sales, and I've been very fortunate to have an opportunity to spend about 5 years in the program. It has helped my sales world immensely. I tell this story often at different groups to other students in the class, especially newcomers. Sandler sales to me is like muscle memory for the brain. If you become an excellent free throw shooter, you don't stop practicing free throws. If you become a great golfer, you don't stop practicing your swing. It's the same thing with sales. And I come every week for about 5 years, and I leave almost every week with, dang it, I missed a step on this last sale. Or that's a piece I need to improve upon. So it becomes automatic, like those free throws and those golf swings.
Welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. I invite a keynote trainer each week from all around the world to discuss different components of the Sandler system. My guest today is Pete Oliver. Pete hails from Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome back, Pete.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
So we were talking about having a templated system. Oftentimes a business, as it goes through the stages of growth and development, one of the first stages is, I got something that's cool. I need to get people to buy it. How do I start? And Pete suggested in the first segment that you really need to know what your clearly defined sales template is. What do I sell? How do I sell it? Who is my ideal buyer? If I've got those things mapped, then I'm going to have a lot more success. And furthermore, if you are a business owner, having some activity in the field, actually learning to sell your own product is a great way for you to engineer your new selling system. Pete, I look at business owners as the architect of their business, and I think a feet on the street approach is often very helpful. So what's step number one, template? What's step number two?
Step number two, make sure that your goals map to your daily, weekly, monthly actions.
So tell us more about that. Help me understand that.
Okay, so before I get into it, obviously you have to have goals, right, in order to be able to have it mapped to something. And one of those things that we often see, just in general, not necessarily just with business owners, but pretty much everybody that is in the workforce, is they're likely either good at big picture, meaning they know where they're going to go, they have a pretty good vision of where they see themselves conceptually, or they might be really good at detail and very task-driven. For example, they may make a list of things that they're going to get done that day, to the point where if they did something that wasn't on the list, they might write it on the list just so they can cross it off.
Right.
So we have those two types of people in the world. We all know it. And unfortunately, what we see more often than not is that there's likely a pretty big black hole between goals and action. And what fills in that black hole is what we call a plan. So when you think about it, what is a goal? It's something that you've decided you want to achieve. It's likely a measurable outcome of what you expect to do in your business, your life, etc. And in order to get to that goal, it's likely you're going to have to change some things and act. And those actions, if they're well-defined in some sort of a plan, it's going to be a much easier road. So when I say make sure your goals map to your action, really the way that it works is you have a goal and then you create a plan around how you expect to achieve that goal. And inside of that plan, there's going to be defined actions. So a lot of times what we see is people are making lists, not really sure why they're doing it, or they have goals with no visibility into what types of actions are going to help them achieve them.
I think it's so important that you recognize that many of the things that we measure are results as opposed to the activities that get to the results. Actuaries call it a leading and lagging indicator. If my goal is to hit X million of dollars in sales, that's a lagging indicator. I'm not going to know that I did it until it's done. The leading indicator would be the activities, as you're suggesting, the plan that's going to help me get that goal. So help our listeners unpack, Pete, how do I build that daily activity, that daily plan that's going to get me the results, especially if I've not done it before?
Great point. A lot of times, I'll tell you the way we do it, and maybe that'll help. So we have what we call our top three money-making behaviors, and it's not necessarily the same for everybody inside the organization, but everybody knows what theirs are individually and could be asking for a referral. It could be what we call a three-foot rule. If we have time, Jim, I'll get into what that is. It could be picking up the phone. It could be going to networking events, etc. And when you go to the event, that in itself is the leading behavior, right? And occasionally when you talk to people at these events, that's going to result in a discovery meeting. That would be the lagging result.
Right.
So we want to constantly be tracking the behaviors we're doing to figure out what our ratios are with the lagging results. And you follow that all the way through to your goal. So if you know that one out of three meetings results in a pipelined opportunity and you typically close 50% of those opportunities that become pipeline, you can really make a huge dent in that black hole between your actions and your goals.
It's important that I take time to measure it, because if I measure it, I'm going to manage it. So I'm looking at what are the activities, the proactive activities that get me in front of the right buyer, and what are some of the things that I am more effective at and some things that are not quite so effective. Oftentimes, people buy a placebo. Like, for example, I think it's so funny. People spend a lot of money on a direct mail piece. They'll get a 1% response, and they'll think it was successful. And then they go make cold calls or prospecting calls, and they get upset that somebody hangs up on them, even though they have maybe one out of every four calls as a conversation. Help me understand that.
That, to me, is a comfort zone thing. And a lot of times we're making decisions based on comfort, not necessarily priority or results.
Yeah.
And if it's more comfortable to send out a mass mailer than it is to pick up the phone, then we'll likely do that, even though it may not garner the kind of results that you'd want.
So that's why I really need to look at my ratio. If I can spend 2 hours on a phone using LinkedIn to do some warm calls, so to speak, and book 2 or 3 appointments, it's going to be a lot better than a direct mail piece that I spend money on, but it's uncomfortable. I've got to be willing to get out of my comfort zone. Strategies on that, Pete?
Yeah, 100%. We're working with an insurance agency here locally, and we've been working together for about 6 years, and over the course of 6 years, there's been a ton of changes inside the way their organization operated. And in this particular case, they doubled the net worth of the agency. And if you ask them what the biggest portion of that was, that the owners took responsibility for the sales process.
Mm.
And they decided that they weren't just going to hire producers until they understood the process themselves. And that resulted in a ton of new business. And they continued to keep the business that they had, but the new business results were huge. And it's just extremely important that they commit to those proactive business development actions, to the point where the owners are in our office for 2 hours every week doing those proactive behaviors.
Wow. Step one was a templated sales process. Step two, goals that map to the plan. And now step three is really having that proactive business development mindset. How do I keep myself engaged in that? Because it's awful easy to slip into neutral and just hope that the phone rings.
Yeah, you know, my favorite way to do that is make sure that you're in touch with your own personal why. So have a vision board, have a dream collage, know the reasons behind why you're picking up the phone, why you're going to those networking events. Have some clarity to what those reasons are, because a lot of times none of us like to sit there and pick the phone up, but there's a reason behind why we want the size of our company to double. And when we know what that is, it makes it a little bit easier to do the actions on a daily basis.
I also think, Pete, for me, time blocking is helpful too. Having that set aside time where it's non-negotiable, I'm going to do the behavior whether I like it or not. It gets easier once I commit to it, but it's committing that initial time that can be a challenge.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. My financial advisor, he says, pay yourself first, right? I think we probably all heard that.
Right.
And when you're running a business, paying yourself first means doing those proactive behaviors first. That's how you pay yourself. So time blocking that off is a great way to execute that for sure.
So my guest today is Peter Oliver. Pete, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about step number four. Step four is track it with consistency. Give a little teaser on what tracking looks like.
Great question. It's funny. When I ask a business owner, I'm curious, what percentage of the time do you end up closing the people that you sit down and talk to? The numbers you hear are staggering.
Yeah.
90%.
Yeah.
And when we ask them to look into that a little bit deeper, no, 90% of the people that said they were going to pay me, not necessarily 90% of the
right.
people I sat down with. So
right.
the better job we do at tracking where we are along the way, as to your point earlier, but the difference in the ratios between those leading and lagging indicators all the way through your process, you'll be able to pull the levers and move up or down on the behaviors that are paying off the most. So we want to track it and stay consistent long enough to understand what our ratios are. And then when we know those, then we can start making some subtle changes and tweaks. Very sharp edge when you're doing it at that rate.
Yeah, I read a statistic about having a slight edge. This was interesting. The difference in the PGA, I think this was 2014 PGA Tour. The difference between making $2.3 million, which is the top earners, and making $100,000, which was the bottom earners, is 0.9 tenths of a stroke. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. That slight edge is huge when it comes to business. And the slight edge of focusing on, as Pete said, pay yourself first, meaning invest in yourself, invest in your own skill development so that you can be at the very top of your game. That's going to help you help your team lead them to success. Pete, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out and contact you.
Sure. Phone number for our office is 508-449-3861. And my email is peter.oliver@sandler.com.
Thank you so much, Peter. After another segment of Behind the Business, we're going to go in depth with Entrepreneur Radio. To learn more about a local or regional business success story, if you'd like to share your story with us, give me a call at 208-429-9275 and we'll take care of the rest. This is Sandler trainer Jim Stevens. Take a look at our website at crossroads.sandler.com or email me with your comments, questions, and contact information. Send it to crossroads@sandler.com if you'd like to learn more. We'll be back just after this. Do you have responsibility to make sure new clients continue to fuel growth in your firm? Big marketing budgets and clever campaigns fail to take into account that people buy from people. Most people in business development won't get out of their comfort zone and make personal connections because they don't want to sound just like every other salesperson. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Join us on Tuesday, June 6th from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for a workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You will learn a proven system to avoid getting stopped by the gatekeeper, decision makers shutting you down before you tell them why you're calling, and the put-off of requesting information. June 6th, 1 o'clock p.m., a two-hour workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You have nothing to lose but your fear of calling on top prospects. To register, go to crossroads.sandler.com or call at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. Welcome back to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story of local and regional business owners. My guest today is Casey Betzel. Casey is an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. He has built an association of businesses for networking purposes, and one of the goals was to help build a network around his business, which is Snake River Shooting Products and Consulting. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
So tell us about your company in general.
So Snake River Shooting Products started out in January 2012, as a distributor of other people's brands to the market to help people get their product to market. It was something that I knew quite a bit about working for the big corporations in the outdoor industry and brought into that second tier structure of be the go-between to get the product out. Through the course of that, we were actually seeking an opportunity to do some manufacturing, and we came into contact with Marcus Luttrell. And Marcus Luttrell had a movie made about him called Lone Survivor several years ago, and he was a retired Navy SEAL and has a crazy story, and he was looking to build a brand around Team Never Quit Ammunition, or Team Never Quit in general, and he was looking to launch ammo, firearms, other products within the Team Never Quit brand. So we got the bid opportunity to do the ammo project with him, and we've been working on that now for a little over 2 years, and we brought that product to market. And so we looked at some very specific things with the ammunition to diversify and break into a specific niche.
When your company is called Shooting Products and Consulting, it sounded like in that last segment, you do consulting for businesses who are seeking to get into this marketplace. Talk about that.
So yeah, we do the consulting piece based on the past experience that I've had in the corporate world of the outdoor industry. So since I left the Air Force, I spent 10 years in the corporate side for big businesses in the outdoor industry and learned how to take products to market, how the two-step distribution worked, how to price and programs and all of those things. So a lot of young businesses have to learn that stuff,
right,
trial and error, and sometimes they'll lose their business if they do it wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal for them to make sure they enter the businesses, you know, enter business in the right way.
And is it specific to outdoor sporting's equipment, or do you speak fluently in other?
In a lot of ways, business is business is business. So a lot of times, manufacturers will take their product to market in a very similar way. There's slight nuanced changes with regard to the product and the consumer and where it's going. But in reality, taking the product from a manufacturing base to the consumer is the same in almost every industry.
So for your company, has the manufacturing of the ammo line been profitable?
It's starting to be. I mean, it's amazingly difficult to get the word out on a new brand of product today, kind of across the board. There's so many distractions out there for us as consumers that to get someone's attention about what the product is just a lot of work. So part of the reason for the alliance that we talked about in the previous segment is for that very purpose.
Terrific. Give your contact information, Casey, in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
So for Snake River Shooting Products and Team Never Quit Ammunition, for people that would like to learn more about the ammo products that we supply, they can get a hold of us at info@snakeriver.com or sales@snakeriver.com. They can go to www.snakeriver.com to get a list of the dealers that are carrying the ammo line, learn more about what that ammo's like, see some videos of the performance of those products and why they set themselves apart.
Terrific. Next up, we have Entrepreneur Radio, where we get to hear a little bit about the inside operations of local and regional entrepreneurs, find out how they run their business, and learn some ideas and suggestions through their experience. If you'd like to be a part of that program, you can reach out to me, Jim Stevens, at 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Do you have responsibility to make sure new clients continue to fuel growth in your firm? Big marketing budgets and clever campaigns fail to take into account that people buy from people. Most people in business development won't get out of their comfort zone and make personal connections because they don't want to sound just like every other salesperson. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Join us on Tuesday, June 6th from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for a workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You will learn a proven system to avoid getting stopped by the gatekeeper, decision makers shutting you down before you tell them why you're calling, and the put off of requesting information. June 6, 1 o'clock p.m., a two-hour workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You have nothing to lose but your fear of calling on top prospects. To register, go to crossroads.sandler.com or call at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. We invite entrepreneurs from all over the Treasure Valley to join us each weekend. And in today's show, we're featuring Carissa Patterson. Carissa is the founder and owner of Button Babes Household Services. Welcome, Carissa. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
So now there's this chronic thing that all entrepreneurs share in common, and that is that they're generally unemployable. And having known you for just a few minutes, I can see you fall in that category.
Why do you say that?
You seem to be very independent-minded. So talk to us a little bit about what got you involved in your business. Tell us, how did you give birth to this new idea of being a household cleaning expert?
It was really just an accident. It was the business I never intended to start. I grew up in a household with the oldest of eight kids. My dad's has run a lawn and landscape company for 30 years now.
Oh.
So it's kind of just in the blood, I think. I was always doing lemonade stands and other things like that growing up to earn money for whatever. While all my other friends asked their parents for money, I was earning my own.
Awesome.
Worked for my dad for 8 years. But after getting divorced 5 years ago, I went back to a career as a retail manager. And after my second holiday season, realized that it wasn't a family-friendly atmosphere for me, only getting to see my kids half the time.
Right, right.
I didn't see them. You know, I worked nights. I worked weekends. Like, they were falling behind in school, and I knew that I needed to be with them, and I knew that I needed to be able to work around their schedule. And so really, without much of a plan, besides the fact that I was getting a pretty good tax refund that year, that I felt like, okay, I can
awesome.
I can back up onto that for a month or so while I figure it out, but I can't do this anymore.
Awesome.
And so after talking to my dad for a couple of days and a lot of crying, as we women do sometimes,
yeah,
I just walked in and very kindly thanked my boss for everything that she'd done for me, and really good segue to being a business owner, that
right.
job was, and told her that I was done. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I guess I'm going to clean houses, because I was helping a friend trading for hair services, and then another gal that had six kids was coming in every week and helping her just with whatever she needed done around her house, whether it was
really?
Cleaning, laundry, organizing things. She had a photography business. Sometimes I would jump into the photography room and help her just do whatever household services
wow.
that she needed.
Wow.
And so I think that was kind of the birth of it, but I didn't realize until about 3 months later, when I just had so much work completely by word of mouth, that I needed to hire someone. And we just kept going. Now we've been around a little over 2 years, and we have 10 employees
wow.
and around, we bounce between 120 to 150 regular clients that
wow.
we do every week or
that
every 2 weeks.
That's
phenomenal.
So, congratulations.
And
that's awesome.
And really, the Treasure Valley is a great place to have a business, because it's completely been by word of mouth.
So how many years have you been doing this?
A little over two.
Just in 2 years, you've grown to 10 employees.
Yeah, it was two.
Phenomenal.
2 years in January.
So your dad, landscaping?
Lawn and landscape.
Lawn and landscape.
And then snow removal in the winter.
And so what did he have you doing?
All of it.
All of it, right?
I was a lot more well-equipped than a lot of his adult employees that he hired. So I was out there being a 14, 15-year-old kid saying, hey, you better fix this real quick before my dad comes around the corner and sees you, and then you're in real trouble.
Yeah, awesome. And you were homeschooled.
Yes, all the way through.
That is terrific.
All of my siblings were. My mom and my sister are out, actually, in
yeah.
the waiting room. So.
Oh, really? We homeschooled our kids. It was very fun. And I think there's a different mindset if you grow up in an entrepreneurial family.
Right.
You know, your dad had the belief in you and the courage to loan you his courage to say, pull the trigger. What do you got to lose?
Yeah. He's like, you should have done it back in October.
Awesome.
So, you know, he was basically like, you just wasted 4 months when he could have been, you know, being awesome on your own.
So, Carissa, tell us, what makes your business different from other cleaning companies? What sets you apart, do you think, other than your charming personality and your great leadership?
I think a big thing that sets us apart is that I find when I go in, the first thing I do is I ask the potential client, what is it that you have liked and what have you not liked about if you have had a cleaning service before? And the biggest thing is just that very rigid rules of like what they will and will not do.
I won't do windows.
I won't do this. If they want something extra, extra that day. They have to like call in and get it approved by their supervisor. What we do is set our clients up with a time budget that we decide with the client. That client can use that time however they want. If they want their towels folded that day, if they want their sheets changed, if they want their bathrooms done, if they can change it every single time. And they usually have the same team, so that team gets to know them and have a relationship with them. I put a lot of ownership onto my team leads. They contact all of their clients the night before to give them a reminder, ask them if there's anything special they want done that day. So we really try to foster that relationship part rather than just going in, cleaning the bathroom and leaving.
You almost sound like a concierge service for homeowners.
That's awesome.
I think that's awesome. That's terrific, because I think there's a lot of things. We've hired folks for cleaning in our past, and you're right. There's things you'd like to have them do, but it's not in their job description, so they can't do it. Running errands.
Right.
Watching the kids for 10 minutes. Who knows? But it's that kind of flexibility that if you can offer to your clients, it really sets you apart from others.
Right. And we do house sitting if our clients are away, you know, the pets are there, then they can pick a girl that they would like to come and stay at their house and do that for them. I've done things like run and get a rental car and take it back to the rental car agency for people, pick up dry cleaning, just all kinds of random things that there's not really anyone that necessarily covers that service. So, or they'll come to me and I'll know who to send them to. So we've been great about being able to refer our clients to a lot of other small businesses in the community because of that rapport, because they trust us just to recommend someone that's going to take care of them.
Being a connector. So how do you hire?
How do I hire?
Talk to us about how hard has it been to build a team of 10 people, go from self-employed to 10 people in 24 months. That's awesome.
So I've lived in the Treasure Valley for 15 years. So I really do look to the circles that I'm in, and I'm probably in about 10 different ones just from all the things that I'm involved in. So I look to those people that I've known a long time to kind of feed me my leads of who to interview. I don't advertise on Craigslist or like any of these other websites or anything like that. I really try to just pull from people we know, and that has, I've tried different methods, and that seems to be the best one, because, and then when they come to their interview, I'm just completely non-traditional. If they bring a resume, I take it and I was like, this is nice, and I throw it in the trash.
Good for you.
And they're just like, what? And I was like, I don't care. I don't care if you've ever worked a day in your life. Tell me about you and where you want to go in the next 5 years. And the answer is not, I'm not looking for you to say, oh, I want to be with Button Babes for 5 years. Because my job is to grow people to their next best thing. So this is just a growing grounds for what they want to do next. So my team has to do personal development.
Awesome.
The first thing that they have to do in their first 30 days is watch The Secret.
Oh, really?
And build a dream board. And they get paid to do that.
Wow.
So
what an innovative boss you are. The boss babe, right?
Right.
So how is that leadership role for you? Are you comfortable in the accountability and discipline arena? Because I would think you strike me as a bit of a perfectionist. You probably have pretty high standards.
I do, but I try to scare people away on the interview so that they're aware of that.
Oh, really?
So and the first thing starts with me just throwing out the resume if they have that. And they're just like, wow, this is not an interview that I've ever been to, because, you know, I don't want people who are going to clock in, clock out, and die.
Right.
And that's really important to me. And I can see if they have something there that can be developed. And after their first 30 days, we sit down again, give them some time to get comfortable, because they're not really working one-on-one with me, but I really do trust my leads to report to me. But it's all going back to teaching someone to fish, not giving them a fish.
Right.
So that's really important to me, because then I'm able to I travel quite a bit, and I'm able to leave and leave the team leads in charge. And a lot of it is client communication as well, to know how your team is doing, because a lot of clients will ask, how do you make sure of the quality without going and checking every house every day? And a lot of that, I tell the client, is on them, because I said, you communicate with us. We're just new to dating you. We don't know if you hate roses and love chocolate unless you tell us. So you're the best person to let us know what's going on in your house. You live there every day. We don't lay on your bed or shower in your shower and see every little thing that is bothering you. So the best is to communicate with us and say, you know, I was laying on my bed the other day and I saw these cobwebs, because we might not necessarily see those because we don't live there every day.
Yeah.
But we'll do anything that you tell us. So just make that
list. Put it on a list.
Put that list down and we'll hit it.
So are you sales, or who does the selling?
I do the selling.
You do the selling.
Yeah.
So you're having that upfront conversation with the people that hire you.
Yeah. And then just reminding them. And that's important. You know, the turnover aspect. If you don't have your teams building the relationships with the clients themselves, then you do get a lot more turnover. I think that's why we haven't had as much, because I encourage the clients, if you come home and you just love your house and how it looks that day, like it's amazing beyond, you know, normal, text that team lead and let them know, because it means so much more than me saying, oh, hey, Jim said you did a good job today.
Right.
They're like, oh yeah, big deal.
Right.
Same with if there's a problem, they go right to that team lead. They don't come to me.
So when you say lead, are you generally sending out two people for
every
project?
Two to three.
Wow.
It just depends on the day and what kind of route we've got going on that day.
I would think as a team member, that'd make it a lot more fun too.
Yeah.
I'm tackling a house with others instead of.
Right. I don't know how I ever did it by myself for 3 months, because there's been a few occasions though where I've had to go and, you know, clean something by myself, and I'm like, oh, how did I do this for months? But I had to. I would do a job. I would pay a bill. Do a job, pay a bill until it
grew. Entrepreneur.
So.
Carissa Patterson. Carissa, give your contact information in case somebody out there would like to reach out to you, pick your brain, see if you have an opening, or hire you to do some cleaning at their home.
Okay. The best way to get a hold of us is just to call or send a text to 208-724-3244. Or you can find us on Facebook and check out all of our 5-star reviews at Button Babes Household Services on Facebook.
All right. Button Babes Household Services. Give your phone number just one more time.
208-724-3244.
On Entrepreneur Radio, we take the stories and successes of individuals all over the Treasure Valley, and we get to follow those people who have created a change in their culture and environment. Really impressed by Carissa. She uses the Sandler stuff without knowing it. One of the things I say in interviewing in my management is, if you can't talk them out of going to work for you, you've got to keep her. It's exactly what she does. Awesome work. Very proud of you and glad to know you. Listeners, if you know of somebody that you think would benefit from being on this show, give us a call at 208-429-9275, or you can reach us at crossroads@sandler.com. Let us know how we can help. We're going to return with Behind the Business just after this. And welcome back to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local business owners and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Casey Betzold. Casey is the founder, right, of Snake River Shooting and Products,
mm-hmm.
and also a co-founder of the networking group. Share
yep.
about that.
Yeah, the co-founder of Antares Alliance, so co-founder and CEO.
Awesome. And what I love about having a conversation with Casey is he really is very entrepreneurial. He's taken his skill set from his time in the Air Force, combine that with his skill set from what he learned in the corporate world, and he's really customized that to becoming a consultant, a marketer, really somebody who has created a platform to help small businesses who have a passion for the military and first responders. And in your company, your ammo company, you've developed this product called Tactical Squirrel. Tell our listeners about that.
The Tactical Squirrel product is a monthly subscription box. I actually have an affiliation with it because it's tied into the company network, but it's a family-owned company, and so my mother and my wife actually run the Tactical Squirrel business. And Tactical Squirrel is a monthly subscription box with multiple choices, tacticalsquirrel.com to find out more information. And it brings together products mostly within the outdoor industry, almost all owned by veterans or first responders on the products that go into the box to get their products featured out into the market. So it gives the subscriber a taste of a few different products every month that are fairly exciting products, from knives to ammo to discounts on things like optics and firearms that are hard to ship, but it ties them into a lot of different brands and gadgets and stuff for the prepper, the survivalist, the outdoor, the hunter, the tactical person.
It's like Christmas every time you get the package.
It is Christmas every month. So.
Every month. That is so awesome. My dad passed away a couple of years ago. Otherwise, I would sign up right now. He was impossible to buy for, because if he saw something he wanted, he'd buy it. Not only would he buy one, but 10. So this would be a great place for someone who has that person who's impossible to buy for, who's passionate about outdoors activities.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those people that, especially handguns, because it's fairly easy to subscribe for handgun ammunition, and it's Team Never Quit Ammo. We talked about that mm-hmm. in a previous segment. Team Never Quit has a donation platform that goes to Lone Survivor Foundation as one example of the products in the box that support foundations out there, and brought you the box of ammo, which for people that buy boxes of ammo online, if they go to Cabela's and buy it online, it costs almost as much to ship that box of ammo as it does to buy buy the box of ammo. So this way they get to pay about the same in shipping, but they're going to get, you know, several, five, six, seven more products with that box
awesome.
Of ammo. So
that's awesome. And we can't leave this segment without giving credit where credit is due. This was actually not your brainchild. This is your wife and your mom. Is that fair?
Yeah, within the family concept, we got family members from my parents to my wife and, you know, maybe my kids someday that are involved in a myriad of companies and brands here. But Tactical Squirrel is run by the ladies, and they do a great job with it.
That's awesome. What a terrific idea. Give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you, Casey.
Okay, for the Tactical Squirrel contact information, the website is tacticalsquirrel.com. You can get a hold of the Tactical Squirrel team through there, through sales or info@tacticalsquirrel.com, or subscribe. And you can go right online and subscribe for that and start getting your boxes coming every month.
Awesome. We're going to be back with our final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Do you have responsibility to make sure new clients continue to fuel growth in your firm? Big marketing budgets and clever campaigns fail to take into account that people buy from people. Most people in business development won't get out of their comfort zone and make personal connections because they don't want to sound just like every other salesperson. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Join us on Tuesday, June 6th from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for a workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You will learn a proven system to avoid getting stopped by the gatekeeper, decision makers shutting you down before you tell them why you're calling, and the put off of requesting information. June 6th, 1 o'clock p.m., a 2-hour workshop on prospecting the Sandler way. You have nothing to lose but your fear of calling on top prospects. To register, go to crossroads.sandler.com or call at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. Welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. I invite a Sandler trainer worldwide to discuss the highly successful and effective Sandler selling system. I have a trainer from Boston, Massachusetts with me this week, Peter Oliver. Welcome back, Pete.
Thanks, Jim.
We've been talking about the five areas of focus to excel as a business owner. Number one, template your sales process. Know the steps necessary to take someone from "I never heard of you" to a logical purchase decision. Number two, make sure your goals, big picture, align with your plan, daily activities. Number three, be proactive in business development. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't get to that point where you think, okay, the phone's ringing consistently, I don't have to do the behavior. I can just wait and people will buy from me. Be proactive. Number four was track it. Let's be consistent in tracking our activity. And I think, Pete, one of the reasons many people fail to track is we don't want to know the truth. Like you said, we get staggering numbers. Somebody says, you ask somebody, so what's your close ratio? Oh, we're about 80 to 85%. And I'm thinking, really? I've been training Sandler for 20 years and my best year was maybe 41%, and that was because it was ripe with referrals. How can they be that good? And then we dig down deep and we find out it's the qualified referrals. It's not every attempt. So give a quick overview of the steps required in a cookbook to make sure you're being proactive.
Yeah, it's a great point. So steps required in a cookbook. Well, first off, Jim, I want to make a point on what you just said. If your sales process is basically just picking fruit up that's laying on the ground, then you're obviously going to have a higher close percentage than
right.
the people that are climbing up in the tree to get it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So if
Great
we
analogy.
Want to make sure that we've got the right amount of balance, and occasionally we might want to climb up in the tree to get some fruit, which is going to be harder because every once in a while you might fall off and hurt yourself, right? So those statistics are dependent basically on where you want to grow and how quickly you want to grow, which
yeah.
is pretty interesting. So from a cookbook perspective, in Sandler's term for cookbook, it's basically a recipe for success for what you plan on achieving because you're going to do the actions that you're going to do. So first off is understanding what your goals are and then determining how that maps to things like your average deal size or the total annual revenue for a potential client. Or maybe for some businesses, like, for example, the insurance industry, it's lifetime value of a client. So when you know these numbers, you can start to back into how much activity you're going to need to do in order to hit your goal, especially when you know your close percentages and how that factors into the whole equation. So after you've determined what that looks like, then what we want to do is determine what measurable actions we can do on a weekly basis that are going to result in those lagging indicators like meetings or opportunities
yeah.
or deals in some cases.
Yeah.
And then we create a plan where we're tracking them on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
If I find that I'm most successful at closing referrals, then I want to generate as many referrals as necessary. If I know that every time I ask for a referral, I get one out of three, now it becomes math. It's just work the math. How many referrals do you need per week? Well, that's how many I need to ask for. And in addition to that, if I can improve my process by, I don't know, maybe even helping the person who's referring me discover who an ideal client is, maybe even helping them introduce me face to face, that can even further increase my success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen it over and over again. We've got some statistics lately. The average conversion rate from a cold conversation to an appointment is 3%.
Wow.
So we've had some clients that have hit the 12, 13% conversion rate. Now, that's four times as much converted activity
that's awesome.
Than the one that has not been trained in a process to do so. So it's a huge difference. Huge difference. Imagine what your close percentage could be if you were in front of four times as many people. That's
right.
Inevitably going to get better just because you're talking to more people.
Right. Absolutely right. And I think, Pete, a big reason many business owners don't make these changes is your fifth point. They get stuck. We get stuck in a lot of areas. Take us through the traps that a business owner might fall into where they get caught in the mud.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Jim, our mutual friend Bill Bartlett brought us through the stuck triangle, and it really stuck with me, especially, no pun intended, by the way, especially with small business owners, because we tend to get stuck in our ways. I'm one of them, right?
Right.
A small business owner. I've owned this business for 8 years, and I got in this business because I wanted to make my own decisions, and occasionally that means getting stuck on the things that we've always done.
Right.
So when you think through, okay, where am I stuck? If you think through the reasons behind why you're stuck, it might help you decide that you need to make some changes. So in our management training class, we bring our managers through this on a pretty consistent basis to make sure that they don't have amnesia or a blind spot to those areas in their business where they've gotten stuck. So those three reasons that we typically get stuck is one of three. One is status quo. So it's just the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
And whenever you hear yourself saying that, you might end up being stuck, right? Another one is predictability. Jim, you brought up a point earlier. We're going to send out this mass mailer knowing we might get a 0.5 to 1% response rate from that. If it's predictable, you might keep doing it,
yeah.
Regardless of whether the predictability is good or bad, it's predictable.
Yeah, I may not be looking at return on investment, which might make me second guess whether I'm doing the right thing, but if it's predictable, I'm going to stay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the third one is comfort. And our subconscious brain has this comfort zone concept pop up all the time, and we end up making a lot of decisions based on what's comfortable and not necessarily what's important. And we may decide to do things or not do things because there's an element of comfort attached to it. And a lot of times what we want to do is figure out how we can get that 5 seconds of courage as many times as possible over and over again to get out of those comfort zones. And in some cases, that 5 seconds will get you unstuck. So really, when you look at anything in your business that's stuck, it's likely because of one of those three things.
And if you look at the commonality between all three of these, it strikes me, Pete, that it's risk. I don't make the change. I stick with the status quo. I stay with comfort and predictability because I really don't want to take the risk that taking an action may end up failing. But in actuality, if I'm not failing, I'm not growing. So unpack that for us.
That's a great point. In order to grow, you almost have to fail. Failure is part of success. And the more that we change, it's obvious that some things are going to work and some things aren't, but you're going to be better off than if you stand still.
Mm.
Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. And I think the skill set that got you where you are isn't going to get you to where you want to go. So you're going to have to do something different. And I think what Pete's suggesting is, here's a way that I can look at myself and find out, am I stuck in one of these three areas? So I'm going to have to raise my awareness, Pete, to become conscious of one of these three traps. What suggestions do you have to a business owner or manager to first become aware that they are stuck?
Get out there. Surround yourself with A players. Be curious. Invest in yourself and your own personal development. It's amazing what you'll figure out if you get out there and see how the best people in the industries are doing things, right? I'll give you an example I see over and over again in a small business. I'll ask the question, hey, how do you hire people? And they say, well, we put a huge value on experience. And then I'll say, can you help me understand the process you go through in order to make that decision? And most of them, when they're honest, they say, well, we get a bunch of resumes, we look at them, we see the ones that look nice, we bring them in. And then 10 minutes before they come in, we look look at their resume, and then we interview the resume. And I said, well, why do you do it that way? And they say, well, it's because the way we've always done it. And it's obviously a status quo issue, and if there was a better approach, then they'd likely do it, even though that's the way they've always done it, right? So how are you going to figure that out? You invest in yourself. You figure out a better way to hire people. You leverage people in the field that have done it before over and over again, and then you change, right? And you become unstuck.
It's much like the first five steps that you went through. We've got to take time to really have a template of who are we trying to hire. We need to see if their goals and their activities will align with our goals. We need to make sure they have that focus on personal growth as well as business development growth. And then do they have the acumen to track activities and behaviors? Because if I don't have someone who's willing to track, how will I know if they're doing their job?
Yeah, it's a great point. And Sandler has this term called the search model, which is skills, experience, attitude, cognitive skills, results, and habits. And most people that are hiring look at experience. They take the E in search and forget the other letters.
Right.
Right? So how do you create a process where you're interviewing to all six of those categories? And if you do, you kind of take the gut out of the hiring process and results get better, right?
I liked what you said. We interview the resume. That is so funny.
I've done it myself. That's how I know. You know, I've made the same mistake until I figured out a better way.
Yeah, and the better way is asking those open-ended questions that help you uncover the real person inside that resume. Pete, give your contact information in case there's somebody out there who would like to reach out and contact you.
Sure. Our office is 508-449-3861. We're located in Framingham, Massachusetts, as well as in Boston. And my email is peter.oliver@sandler.com.
Peter's been a great guest today. Thank you so much, Pete. I'm Idaho's president of Sandler Training, Jim Stevens. Thank you, listeners, for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Our calling is to wake people up from the slumber of mediocrity. Things like not making the decision to really grow your business strategically, failing to prioritize market initiatives and win your market share, tolerating chaos, risk, and volatility in your business, or really defaulting to learning the hard way, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. If you're ready to give up the insanity of doing this, give me a call, 208-429-9275. Let us know that you'd like some help, and we'll take care of the rest. Have a great weekend, and remember, if you measure it, you will manage it.